Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Isn't that a great image? The hollow of God's hand. And God has been protecting us and helping us in ways we'll never know. Not only this past year, but all through our lives. And he's going to continue to do that in this new year. Let's turn to Psalm 115 this morning for a few moments as we look at blessing the Lord in the new year. We enter 2021 with a lot of anticipation. I think we're all hoping it'll be a better year. Maybe some apprehension still there. How could there not be some apprehension after the way this past year has unfolded? A year ago today, January 3rd, 2020, nobody was thinking about hand sanitizer. Nobody was talking about masks or any of these things that have become so much a part of everyday life. But none of that took God by surprise. And God was there to provide what we needed. And 2021, whatever it may hold, is not going to take him by surprise either. And so that's why we can confidently move into this new year knowing that God is going to be there and he's going to provide his blessings. So we're not today asking, will God bless us? Because he will. He does every minute of every day. Most of the blessings we don't even think about. They're just there. We woke up this morning. We drew breath. We were able to get up and eat. We came to church, those of us who are here, or you're in your living room and you're worshiping the Lord there. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. What we tend to think about is what we don't have that we'd like to have or wish we had. But all the blessings are always there. And it just keeps pouring from God's throne, his presence. The question for us is, will we bless the Lord? And we ought to go into this year asking, am I going to bless the Lord this year? That should be our goal. The blessings of God are assured. But am I going to be a blessing to the Lord? Look at what Psalm 115 says. Let me read the entire psalm, and verse 18 is the last verse. And then you'll kind of understand why the verse 18 finishes with, but we, as if it's opposite what some people are doing. So the psalmist gets to the end of the psalm and he says, this is what we're going to do as the people of God. But we will bless the Lord. Well, what are other people going to do? What are they doing? Look at what the psalm says. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And so his declaration in the final verse, but we will bless the Lord, stands in opposition to the way much of the world of his day was behaving. They had made idols. That's what he's describing here. They fashioned it. They fashioned their gods, idols, with their own hands. Verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And then he describes, you know, they would fashion these idols so that they had faces, they had mouths, they had eyes, they had ears, but they couldn't speak, they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, they couldn't smell. In other words, they were dead. They were inanimate objects. And he concludes verse 8, those who make them are like them. Dead, empty, lifeless. So is everyone who trusts in them. And so the psalmist is saying, this is the way much of the world is, but this is not how the children of God should be. And so as we begin 2021, much of the world around us, they're still making idols out of their own, with their own hands. It may not be the same kinds of idols, but idols nonetheless. Whatever you lift up to be in God's place is an idol, and it's dead, it's lifeless. It cannot give you hope. It cannot give you peace. It cannot save you from your sin. It cannot give you eternal life. It isn't why you're here. And so in 2021, the psalmist is saying, we will not be like the world who makes God in their own image and then falls down and worships it. We will worship the true God. We will bless the Lord. There is no blessing that comes from what is dead and lifeless. But the true God, the God of Israel, he blesses his people. And then the psalmist goes through that. O Israel, trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, the tribe of priests, trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. And the assurance of God's blessings. He will bless us. Verse 12, do you notice it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. Do you think God has been mindful of you as you've gone through 2020 this past year? This means that God thinks about you and me. And he knows everything about our lives. All 7 billion plus people who live on the face of the earth, God knows every one of them by name and has a plan for each life. And his plans are good plans. And so today you may feel alone, you may feel empty, you may feel afraid, but the Lord is mindful of you. He thinks about you and he is going to bless you. And the greatest blessing of all is the blessing of his love and his forgiveness and his very presence. He is with us, and he will always be with us. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. And I want you to see that in this verse 18, the people of God, we must be determined as a child of the King. We're going to bless the Lord. That's what he concludes with. But we, who's the we? The people of God, as opposed to those who live as if there is no God, or they fashion God in their own image. They want God to be what they determine God should be, not accept God for who he is. Who is the real God, the only God? Verse 3, the answer to the question, so where is God? That's a question people ask today, the skeptic, the critic. Where is your God? Well, where is God? The answer is given to us in verse 3. Our God is in heaven. That means God is on the throne. Our God is in heaven. Now, he's present with us here too, but he rules over heaven and earth. Our God is in heaven, and this is what really makes the skeptic mad, he does whatever he pleases. See, he doesn't dance on the end of a string to what we want God to do. As much as we might want to control God and dictate to God, he won't be dictated to. He does whatever he pleases. Why? Because he's God. And because God is always good, and he's always holy, and he's always right. Whether we think it right or not, he is right. And he does whatever he pleases. And so in 2021, God hasn't placed us here to sit in judgment of God. That's not our job. There's only room for one God, and we're not it. God is perfectly capable of handling that job. And he does what he pleases. We are here to bless him. And as we bless him with our lives, we bless others around us. As we bless others, we bless him. Jesus said, if you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So when we serve others and share God's love with others, we bless the Lord. When we bless the Lord, we're going to be more in the right mind and spirit to be a blessing to those around us. We can't help but become more like him when we praise him and honor him and worship him with our lives. We are to bless the Lord as children of the King. That's the but we. We're not going to be like everybody else around us. We're going to stand apart from the world that says there is no God, or God is whatever I want him to be in my own small, finite mind. God is a lot bigger than anything we can create. And so we come to him on his terms. And he becomes the object of our praise and our living and our worship. F.B. Meyer, a great Christian preacher and writer from the 1800s, he said, if he, meaning God, if he exalts you with his favor, take care that you do exalt him with your praise. If he enriches you with his blessings, bring you your blessings and offer them at his feet, as the wise men brought their gold and frankincense and myrrh and laid them as tribute at the feet of the newborn king. Bless a blessing God. What could be more congruous? What would make more sense than if the people of God do what God does? God blesses us, therefore we should bless him. We bless him because of who he is and because of all the marvelous things that he has done. So as a child of God, determine that this year you're going to bless the Lord. How do we bless the Lord? We bless the Lord in our living. In our living, a living God, Charles Spurgeon said, should be worshiped by a living people in a living manner. This is one of the rules of Christian worship which we should never forget. Let us come before the Lord not as mere bodies, fancying that it is enough to put in an appearance in a place where prayer is want to be made, but let us bring our living selves, our souls, our hearts into God's worship. And whether it is in prayer or in praise or in the proclamation of his truth or in the listening to the gospel message, let us do it with all our life. Have you ever thought about the fact that when you give your mind and heart over to listening to the Word of God, you are blessing the Lord when you do that? It's an act of worship. And I have to tell you, sometimes preachers have been guilty of making people think that, quote, just coming to worship is not a significant thing. You know, preachers, sometimes we've got programs and plans and we're trying to get people to do 10, 11, 12 things when they're already doing 4, 5, or 6 things. Things that are really not even commanded in the Bible, I'll be honest with you. You tell me where it says in the Bible that we have to do 45 things a week as a church program. It's not there. We've created these things that we think we have to do, but they really aren't commanded. Now, some of them are really good to do, and we should keep doing the ones that are. But if we shouldn't turn it into something it's not. I'm telling you, the most significant thing we do is blessing the Lord, worshiping the Lord, because it gets our heart and mind in tune with God's heart and mind. And then we're going to do the things we ought to be doing, the other things we ought to be doing. But never believe that the worship of the Lord, the listening to the gospel message, the opening your heart to the truth of God's word, never come to the place of thinking that that's somehow a minor distraction from the real work of being a Christian. It's not. We're going to be able to do the work God wants us to do when we are blessing the Lord with our whole heart, with our minds, with all that we are and all that we have. We are to bless the Lord with our living. And I think that's another important point to notice. We are living people. And we worship a living God. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, the message in the garden there? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. We're alive. God has given us a certain period of time on this earth. We live on this earth. Let's live and serve the Lord and bless Him and share Him. One of the really critically, I think, dangerous things about what we've been through in the last year is that in our great desire to keep living, to not die, we have stopped living. And so we've got to be very careful to keep this balance. It doesn't mean we don't do the things we need to do to try to keep others safe and to be safe. But we have to find the balance in it. Because God has only given us a certain amount of time on this earth, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what precautions we take. And the question is, are we going to keep living for the Lord? And He wants us to, whatever our circumstance. It's always been dangerous to be alive in this world. So let's keep living and keep blessing the Lord and blessing others. And let the Lord lead you in that day by day. Let the Lord lead you. Let's do what He wants us to do. And as we do, it will bless Him. Because He loves us and He wants us to love Him in return. Bless the Lord every time you think of His mercy and grace. When are we to bless the Lord? Now. Not down the road when everything is okay and better. That day will never come. We're to bless the Lord now. Wherever we are, whether you're in a care facility or you're at home most of the time or you're still out in the workplace or wherever we are to bless the Lord now. What does verse 18 say? But we will bless the Lord from this time forth. That means starting now. Starting right now. W.A. Criswell had an interesting idea. He said, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that when God is cursed and mocked by others, then let his people praise him. Whenever you hear anything said against God, any note of blasphemy or skepticism, then say, we will bless the Lord from this time forth. I think he was saying not go out and start an argument with everybody that is a skeptic. There may be a place for to discuss with someone who honestly wants to discuss things. But he's saying every time you hear someone curse the Lord or blaspheme the Lord or be critical of the Lord, as the people of God, let us rise up, and we are the people who should bless the Lord. Let's counterbalance that. It may be nothing that anyone else will hear. You might can do it audibly, but you can do it in your heart and in the spiritual realm. And you know there's much going on that we can't see. When the people of God rise up and bless the Lord, wouldn't that be something if Satan, when he seems to have a victory with someone who is a skeptic and a critic and a hater of God, wouldn't it just make Satan angry if that makes the people of God rise up and bless the Lord even more? Bless the Lord now. Every chance you get, praise him, honor him, thank him for who he is and for what he is doing. Bless the Lord when you think of his mercy and grace toward you. Bless the Lord for the opportunity to live another day, another year. Let's give thanks to God for what he has done. And it might change our attitudes. Matthew Henry wrote way back there 300-400 years ago. Listen to this. Listen to this, if this doesn't describe somebody you know. Oh, how I wish that I could put this resolution, this verse 18, but we will bless the Lord. Oh, how I wish that I could put this resolution into the hearts of some people whom I know. I hope they are Christians, but you know they were born on a bleak day and they always speak with lips of frost. You are never many minutes with them, but you hear grievous complaining. Dear brother, how would it do for you to say, from this time forth, I will bless the Lord? What if we spend our time blessing the Lord instead of complaining, criticizing? Woe is me. You know, there's so much to bless the Lord for. To give thanks to God for. Let's bless the Lord from this time forth. May that be what characterizes your life and mine. And then finally, in the verse at the end, bless the Lord forever. When do we bless him? Now and forevermore. We will bless the Lord, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In other words, let there be no end to our praise of the Lord. We don't have enough minutes in the day to bless the Lord for everything that he has blessed us with. What it's saying is this should be a continual attitude of worship and praise and love for God. And you know how this becomes part of who you are, who I am, practice. You have to start somewhere. So consciously, deliberately begin to bless the Lord. Thank him. Praise him. Talk to him. Sing to him. Audibly or in your mind and heart, but begin today to bless the Lord. And when we do, it changes us. We're blessed in ways we cannot even imagine. Alexander McLaren described it this way on this verse. One thing more, and this is brightness itself. This year we trust we shall see God glorified by us and in us. If we realize our chief end, we reach our highest enjoyment. It is the delight of the renewed heart to think that God can get glory out of such poor creatures as we are. We hope that God has been in some measure glorified in some of us during the past year, but we trust He will be glorified by us far more in the year which now begins. We wish our whole life to be a sacrifice, an altar of incense continually smoking with sweet perfume unto the Most High God. Oh, to be carried through the year on the wings of praise to God. Oh, to be carried through the year. Let's let our praise of God lighten the load, and let's lift Him up with every day that we live. And this means that death itself can't bring an end to the praise of God. Every time we see in the Bible a description of heaven, what do we see? Those who've gone on before us, who love Jesus, what are they doing? They're worshiping. Worthy is the Lamb. They are praising Him. They are blessing Him. That's our highest end. That's where we're going. So let's start doing it now, to His honor and to His glory. In fact, when we all get to heaven like we sang before, the worship will be the greatest it's ever been. No distractions. Face-to-face presence of God. So let's begin doing now what we'll be doing forevermore. May it be forevermore in our lives. I close with the words of Charles Spurgeon I mentioned before. I was drawn to his words because on January 1st, 1892, he said this: "We know nothing of the events which lie before us, of life or death to ourselves or to our friends, or of changes of position, or of sickness, or health. But whatever may come, we will bless the Lord." And Charles Spurgeon died 30 days later, January 31st, 1892. He had put his trust in the God who loved him. And he knew that no matter what would come in that new year, it was going to be all right. And he was going to bless the Lord. We don't know what's coming this year, but the Lord is already here. So let's bless Him. Let's make that our obsession, if you want to call it that. Let's make that our greatest desire, to bless Him, to bless His name. He is worthy of all of our worship and our praise. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You that we can declare with this psalmist and with believers for thousands of years, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Lord, may that be true in each of our lives. There may be someone here or within the sound of my voice who has never yet given their life to You. They want so much to be free of bondage, of sin, of guilt, of pain. Lord, we pray that You'll see that only You can make them free, but You will make them free. Help them to be willing now to say, "Jesus, I believe You came for me, and that You died to pay for my sins. Please forgive me and come into my life. I give my life to You." We know, Lord, You will hear that prayer of faith. And now we pray that as Your people, we will bless You and honor You and lift You up with our words and our actions and all that we are. And may others be able to see Your presence in us, Your love flowing through us. So we ask in this time of decision now that You'll lead us, help us to follow, And whatever you desire, may your will be done in each of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and